the blood of Christ. Thank you for the resurrection of Christ. Thank you for your word, your words, your word in the flesh, and your word in this Bible. Lord, that we could have it and hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. And Lord, breathe on this message and breathe on the nursing home service in a little while. We need you to show up because we're a needy people, Lord. We're just trusting you'll do something in us, on us, and through us for your honor and your glory. We ask this in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke 24. Luke 24. Excuse me. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his word, and returned from the sepulcher, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of conversations are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and a certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Interesting thing, he broke that bread, and by cause of that bread, they knew him. You know why we know Jesus Christ? Because of the bread. the Word, the manna from heaven, His words, the Bible. But I want to look about some things about this passage in Scripture today, and some openings. I want to talk about some things, some openings in the Bible. We'll deal with some of these Scripture that we went through in a little while, but the opening, the first opening is the opening of the Bible. In the opening of the Bible, the Word of God says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." In the very opening, it talks about God creating, and He creates, and He uses His Word, and Jesus Christ is His Word. And we also realize in the first few verses of the Bible, God the Father spake, which shows God the Father and His Word, the Son. And then we see the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters, which we see the Holy Spirit of God. So we see the Trinity in the first few verses in the opening of the Bible. And we've talked about this many times before, and we'll mention it again today. Probably the most attacked part of the Word of God is not the death, burial, and resurrection. It's the opening. It's the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And everybody wants to argue and fuss about that, and fuss about timelines and science falsely so-called, and all these things. But the opening of the Bible, if you can get your heart and mind wrapped around, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, the rest of the things fall in place spiritually after salvation. But that Genesis 1:1, the opening of the Bible, is so very, very important to our beliefs and our understandings of who God is. And then in the opening, we also see the opening fall of man. In Genesis chapter number 3, at the very beginning of the creation, here we have Adam made in God's image and Eve taken from Adam, and those folks are set to live in this perfect situation. And then we see that fall of man as Eve is tempted. We talked about that in Sunday school, how it was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He said here, he presents the fruit to her so she can look at it, and it looked good. And then she thought it would taste good. And then he said, "You can be as gods." And in that pride of life, she wanted to be like God, so she took the fruit, and she did eat. She gave it to Adam, and he ate. So we have the opening of the Bible in Genesis 1:1. We see the opening fall of man in Genesis chapter number 3. And then all throughout the Old Testament, from that fall on up to up to the book of Malachi, we see the opening of forgiveness. And you know what the opening of forgiveness was? It was the law and the prophets to the Jews representing and pointing to the coming Savior, representing and pointing to their King, which was to be rejected of them and accepted and sought by the Gentiles. And through the church age, He has turned to the Gentiles, yet He will turn again to the Jews, we understand from the Bible. But the opening of forgiveness, it started with Adam in the garden, and God not only requiring, but providing the covering for Adam and Eve. Remember, they tried to cover themselves up, and they couldn't do it. There had to be blood shed in the garden, and that was pointing toward the blood shed on Calvary in the New Testament. The New Testament in His blood. And the law and the prophets pointing to Jesus Christ. And then He comes and He was born in a manger and lives a sinless life. And He's sent to Calvary. He goes to Calvary freely. He could have left. He could have rejected the will of the Father. But He submitted to the will of the Father and submitted to the cross and submitted to carrying the sin debt of the world on Himself so you and I could have eternal life. And taking that crown of thorns on His head so this earth could be regenerated by the only one that could pay that debt and take that curse away, Jesus Christ. We see the opening of forgiveness in the Old Testament, and in the death, burial, and resurrection, we see the opening of His body. They drove those nails in His hands and feet. They stuck His side with that spear, and He spilled out all His blood and water so you and I could have eternal life. The opening of His body. He submitted to the cross and allowed them to open His body so we could be His body in the church age. And then, much like today where many people understand, you know, they'll talk about Jesus and they'll talk about His death and they'll talk about, some folks will even talk about the resurrection. But much like the disciples that didn't understand the death, burial, and resurrection, a lot of folks today, even people in churches this morning, don't understand the death, burial, and resurrection. They understand that Jesus Christ was a good man and He was a prophet. Some may even claim He's the Son of God, but they don't understand three words in the Bible that are very important. And Jesus Christ said them on Calvary, "It is finished." What he was talking about was everything that man needs to get to heaven was completed on Calvary. He paid the entire debt on Calvary, and it was sealed by the resurrection. Amen. His blood atonement, it finished it. It doesn't require you to do anything else. It doesn't require anything of any church to do any ceremonial thing or any tradition or go through any program or any christening or confirming or anything like that. It was finished on Calvary. He said, it is finished. You know what you can do because it is finished? We talked about this in Hebrews last week. You can rest in Jesus Christ. What are we resting from? Because the opening of His body and the shedding of His blood and the resurrection, we can rest in the fact that He completely paid our debt and gives us complete victory because of His resurrection. The opening of His body, and that leads us to Luke chapter 24, the opening of His tomb. You know what they found when they opened His tomb? They found He is risen. Amen? They found out He's not in the tomb. The ladies go and they look for Him, and they're going to pay homage to Him and pay respect to Him and start some kind of religious tradition where they go back to see their Jesus that they were looking forward to when His walk on this earth before the crucifixion. They were looking forward to Him restoring Israel. But when they get there, they find Him gone, and they're confused. They're confused. They run and they tell the disciples. The disciples come and they're confused. Peter, they didn't even reject. They said they're just telling, this is some kind of a fairy tale, some kind of a fantasy, some kind of a fable. They're just telling stories. And Peter, he ran. He ran to the tomb. But you know what? After he saw what he saw at the tomb, after he saw that He is risen and He wasn't there, Peter wondered what was going on. You know what? He didn't understand. Jesus Christ walking with them and talking to them, telling them and pointing them back to the Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament law and the Old Testament scripture, preaching that He must die and 3 days in the grave and He must rise again out of that grave. And even though He preached to them in person, they did not understand. You know what you can expect sometimes when you tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? They just won't understand. They won't understand. And some folks will tell you all kinds of things about their religious experiences, about their religious worthiness, if you will, but they don't understand. I've had some folks in times past say, well, Jesus Christ opened the door so I can work my way in, because I didn't have any hope, but He opened the door so I can work my way in. If I just do this, that, and the other, because of what He did, I can get in. Said, no, because of what He did, if you just forget your works and you throw your works in the trash and you hang your hat on the finished work of Jesus Christ, you hang your heart on the finished work of Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You come to Him as a sinner, believing He paid your sin debt, believe in what He said on Calvary, it is finished. Amen. You put your faith and confidence in the finished work of blood atonement of Jesus Christ, that's salvation. He didn't just open the door, He is the door. The opening of His tomb. And if you go there today, He's not there. He's risen. He's telling the disciples as they walk with Him and don't know who He is. You know what, that's something. You ever talk to somebody that's been really faithful in church their whole life? And sometimes it doesn't always matter what church it is. But they've been faithful in church. They were born into a religious belief system or whatever. And they've been faithful in church. And you'll give them Scripture. And when you give them Scripture, you know what I believe is happening? I believe God's talking to them. I believe Jesus Christ is talking to them through His words. That's why I believe the Bible is so important. I don't believe the Bible is something that can be changed, altered, messed with, deleted, taken away, forgotten about, replaced by tradition or any of that. I believe the Bible is of utmost importance for people to get convicted and saved. I believe that God's talking to them, and I believe as He's talking to them and walking with them, you know what I believe a lot of times? I believe their eyes are holding that they can't see the truth. Just like the disciples that walked with Him before the death, burial, and resurrection, He's walking with them after the death, burial, and resurrection, and He's talking to them, He's giving them His words, and they still don't understand. You know what they need? Well, they need some Baptist preacher to just tell them they're no good, worthless heathens, and they're going to burn in hell. Well, I believe that people ought to know that there's a heaven and a hell, and I believe that you ought to tell them, hey, you reject Jesus Christ, that's where you end up. I believe that. But you know what they really need more than anything? Look at verse number 32 of chapter 24. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? You know what folks need? They need the Holy Spirit of God to open the Word of God to not just their mind, but their heart. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? We see the opening of the Bible. We see the opening fall of man, the opening of forgiveness, which was started with God covering Adam and Eve and in the law and the prophets and on up through the opening of his body, beginning that New Testament, his blood, the opening of the tomb where he's not there. Now we see the opening of the Scriptures. Isn't it good when God shows up and opens the Scriptures? I believe that happened here Wednesday night, amen? I mean, sometimes we come up here and we use our mind and we talk about what we know. And sometimes God comes in and shows up and does something through our heart and shows us things we didn't know. Or maybe gets us to think and gets us to fall in love with His Word a little bit more. Amen. I believe it happened Wednesday night right here. It doesn't happen every Wednesday like that. It doesn't happen every Sunday like that. But boy, when He shows up and our hearts burn within us as He talks with us by the way, and while He opens us to Scripture, that's what people need. They need the Holy Spirit of God to open the Scripture so they can see their state. They're lost. They're on their way to hell. They're without hope. They're without Christ. They're without God. They're without help. And if they turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him and call on Him as a risen Savior and put their faith and confidence in Him, we can take them over to John 5:13. These things are written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And my sheep hear my voice, and they shall never perish. Jesus Christ said in John chapter number 10, they get those verses, they're saved, they're sealed, they're secure in their salvation, and they can start living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe most people that claim to be born again today don't live for Jesus Christ because they've never allowed the Holy Spirit of God, because they've never studied the Word of God, and they've never studied it and allowed the Holy Spirit of God to say, look, you're saved, you're sealed, and you're set apart for a purpose. And instead of God telling them what their ceiling is and what their purpose is, they'll let some man tell them what their purpose is. And man messes everything up. They'll go to a church and a man will say, well, your purpose is to be wealthy. Your purpose is to be happy. Your purpose is to walk 10 foot above the clouds all the time in Jesus' name. Your purpose is to never meet any heartache or heartbreak. Your purpose is to never know any sickness or this. And if you do, it's because you don't have enough faith. And the truth is, your purpose is to glorify Jesus Christ, whatever path He takes you down. Amen. But people don't realize that because a lot of folks have never studied the Scripture. Folks don't even believe the Scripture anymore. The devil has used these new versions, perversions, and lies, and thieving from people's hearts and salvation and trust in the words of God to get people to the point where they think that if some man don't tell them about some tradition and they don't fall in line with some church belief instead of a Bible fact, a Bible doctrine, that they're going to, they just have to trust man. What that Bible says, it tells me and it tells you if you read it, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. You know what it says? It's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. Let me tell you something today. I'm a man. If you put all your confidence in me, you're going to be messed up and destroyed and distraught and probably let down severely sooner or later. But if you put your trust in the Word of God and the Son of God, you will never be let down. Amen. Pray for me. I don't want to be a bad preacher. I don't want to be a lion from the pulpit. I don't want to be a hireling or any of that stuff. Pray for me. I don't want to fall in that trap. But I'm telling you, don't put your confidence in a man. Put your confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The opening of the Scriptures. I love that verse. That just does something to you. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scripture? You know why some people don't get Scripture open to them? Because they show up Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and that's the only time they see a Bible. Some people don't even see it then. They just hear it. Some people go to church where they don't even hear it. But But you know what he's going to do? If you read your Bible along the way, you know what along the way is? Monday through Wednesday night. Thursday through Sunday morning. That's when Jesus talks with you along the way, when you're praying and reading your Bible. And you know what will happen if you're praying and reading your Bible between church services? You get to church service, you know what's going to happen? If you're right with God and you're prayed up, and you're praying for your preacher and you're praying over that book and you're expecting God to give you something to make you more like Jesus Christ, to make you more, to show you what you're supposed to be doing, to give you more guidance, direction, and joy, peace, whatever you're looking for, you know what he's going to do? He's going to open to you the Scripture. I'm not saying he won't do it through the week, but I'm telling you, if you just show up wanting to be a Sunday morning Christian and a Wednesday evening Christian, you're going to be seriously disappointed at the judgment seat of Christ, because you got to walk with him by the way so he can open the Scripture. I don't think there's very many, and I'm not the only guy, and I'm a goofball, man. There are people out there, they forgot more Bible than I'll ever know. But I'm telling you, I think that probably half or more of the preachers out there don't have any Scripture open to them because they don't walk with him by the way. Amen. I think some people show up, and sometimes I don't get my messages till Saturday night, Sunday morning. And it's not because I'm not trying to get them, because God's got a sense of humor. And he's like, here's a message on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday he goes, here's another one. And on Friday he's going, yeah, but you're not using those. And on Saturday he's like, what are you going to do now? Okay, now you really got to pray, right? You didn't get serious enough until Saturday, man. So vote that guy out. No, I'm just being honest with you, amen. You vote me out, I'm still going to be goofed up. Amen. But the truth is, sometimes he'll talk with you along by the way, and then he'll give you what you were looking for at the last minute. Amen. Honestly, it used to almost make me sick in my stomach to walk up to the pulpit, because I'm like, Saturday night I got a message, and Sunday morning I'm not sure what it all is. But you know, the truth is, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll box God in and not let him open the Scripture. I preached at a church down in Tennessee one time, and I had the preacher ask me, you know, he said, I'm retiring. We enjoyed the message, enjoyed the fellowship and everything. If you want to pastor this church, all I got to do is tell these people I think you're the guy, and I think you do it. I think they do. I said, I don't think I'm the guy. I was talking, he became a good friend. He went home to be with the Lord about 4 years ago. He became a good friend. His name was Jerry Hickson. And I was talking to him on the phone one day and talking about an outline. He goes, you use outlines? I said, yeah. He goes, you ever just go in there and let the Lord fill your mouth? And I said, well, yeah. But I started thinking about that, and I thought, man, you know what? Maybe I'm getting too heavy into the outline. When you're going through the Bible and you got an outline, that's a great thing. But when you start outlining the outline, and outlining the outline, and the outline, and you're sticking to an outline, which I would not suggest, you're not giving God any room to open the Scripture. I don't know about you all, but if you come in here and I say something stupid, that's on me. But if I say something that helps you, it's because I got out of God's way and he used Balaam's donkey. Amen. He'll do that. But that was a great thing that he told me. It convicted me. It made me kind of mad at first. I was like, what do you mean? You pastor that church, I'll pastor this one. Amen. But you know, that helped me. It helped me learn something about me. Because I was so worried about doing something wrong, I failed to do something right, which was give God more leeway. I can show up here and I can wax eloquent and I can say all these things and I can quote all these preachers from the past and I can give you a 74-point outline. They might all rhyme and be homiletically wonderful and all that stuff. But if God doesn't get in it, all it did was tickled your brain. Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scripture? Praise God for the open tomb. The open and empty tomb. What we need more than anything after salvation is for God to open to us the Scripture And I'm not talking about figuring out a rapture date. I'm not talking about coming up with some new doctrine. I'm not talking about answering a question that men have been pondering about Genesis 1, 1, 1, 2, or whatever for years. I'm not talking about any of that. What I'm talking about is God taking a verse and opening it up and using it to give you something that he might not ever give anybody else. The people that walked the closest with the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on this earth, after the resurrection, walking with Jesus Christ, didn't recognize him. And until he opened the scripture to them, they didn't understand the death, burial, and resurrection. I want to say that for two reasons. Everybody's saying everybody's saved the old way, the same way in the Old Testament by looking forward to the cross. His own disciples didn't understand the cross. Before, during, or after the crucifixion, until he opened it. You know what I believe? I believe there's no New Testament without the death of the testator, and I believe when he shed his blood on Calvary, and you look at that New Testament, and we look back at the Jews and say, how could you have missed it? It's because we have light they never had. They should have known it, but in their pride, they weren't using the light God had given them so he wouldn't open up any more light for them. He kept taking them back to the light they had, which shone on Jesus Christ, and they kept over and over again rejecting him. But you know what God has given us as his bride, as the church, as his body, as his children? The ability to have scripture open to us like nobody else has. But you have to walk and talk with him, by the way. Monday through Wednesday, Thursday through Saturday night, Sunday morning. Walk with him and talk with him, by the way. I like listening to good preaching. I like going online and finding some of the old school preachers, some of them you can't even understand. I mean, from when they had probably aluminum foil on their things or whatever plan, you know. You get on there and you go, you can barely hear it, barely understand it. But you can tell they walk with God, by the way. And talk with him, by the way. Amen. And you can see some of these other folks and they're all polished up, man. They got the $1,000 shoes on. They just got off their $1 million or $10 million jet and come from their $30 million mansion, and they've got their wife that's got $60 million worth of makeup on or whatever, you know, and all that stuff, and air chisel will get that stuff off at night if they ever get it off there, you know, and they smile like Ruckman used to say, if they smile, that thing would crack, look like an earthquake hit, and they get all that stuff up on, and they come up there, and they get up there, and they want to talk about everything but the Bible. What a waste. What a waste. Or they want to get in there and talk about everything but the Lord. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about what God wants you to be. This, that, you know, name it and claim it and all this stuff. And every once in a while, they'll throw Jesus in there like he's a salt pepper shaker. It's all about him. It's all about him. So I just had I wish I had a more intimate walk with the Lord. Well, walk with him and talk with him, by the way, and ask him to open up the scripture. The opening of the Bible, the opening fall of man, the opening of forgiveness, the opening of his body, the opening of the tomb, praise the Lord, he is risen. The opening of the scriptures. We're going to wrap it up with this. Revelation chapter 4, the opening of the door in Revelation chapter 4. He's coming back. When he looked at John and he said, come up hither, and John said immediately, I was in the Spirit. That's a type of the rapture. John's a type of the church. I don't know how these folks think that there is no rapture, there is no cure. You call it the catching away, the elevator to heaven, whatever you want to call it. We're getting out of here because one of these days that door is going to open and God's going to say, come up hither, and you're going to hear him call your name and you're going to leave. Amen. You're going to leave. We're going to leave. We're going to leave. So, well, they've been saying that for years. Yeah, well, it's still true. Amen. It's still true. We don't have to change what we think because of time. The truth doesn't change because of time. We can see the day approaching. We've got President Cyrus. Amen. You know what he did? He gave Israel the right to go back and rebuild. You know what Israel's doing? They're geared up and excited about President Donald Cyrus giving them the right to rebuild. And you know what they're doing? They're getting ready to kill the red heifers. They're getting ready to line everything up for their religious ceremonies. They're getting ready to accept that deceitful man of sin and follow him for a while. They're getting ready to turn back to the truth. And Jesus Christ takes care of them at the end of the tribulation and comes down to the Battle of Armageddon. But before that all happens, we're right at the door of come up hither, Revelation chapter 4. The opening of the door, Revelation chapter 4. If there's anything close to being as exciting as the open tomb and opening of the scriptures, it's the opening of the door in Revelation 4. Talking about Jesus, what did he do? I'm going to talk about seven things he did while he was here, and then we'll be done. He washed the disciples' feet. Not an example for churches to start foot washing, by the way. I'll take one shoe off. Y'all quit that real quick. He went to the cross for you. He wore a crown of thorns, taking the curse of this world. He won the battle for you. He is risen. He wants to save men's souls. It is not his will that any should perish. John Calvin knows that now. But that all should come to repent. If you're saved today, he washed away your sin. Praise God. Remember that song we just sang, 245? The old account was settled long ago. You think, man, we sing that too much. I like singing that. I wish when I was in Walmart they'd play that instead of that garbage they play, and I could walk through the week without that junk in my head. You ever wake up? You probably do. You wake up in the morning with some 70s garbage coming through your head you just heard at Walmart. You're like, where'd that come from? It come from China Mart. The devil runs their stereo system. Wouldn't it be great if they played The Old Account Was Settled, Amazing Grace, and stuff? I'd stay in there a little longer. Amen. He washed away your sins. And we'll leave with this. He will be coming soon. He will be coming soon. We talked about this a week ago. He can't come back the 21st now, right? Because we said we needed 2 weeks to prepare. But if you're not preparing, you might as well just go ahead and leave tomorrow night. Matter of fact, we might be better off so we don't mess anything up over the next week. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But we talk about the death, we talk about the burial, we talk about the resurrection, but praise God for the rapture. We're getting out of here. And the testimony of the graves opening, the dead in Christ rising first, and us leaving. What a testimony, what a witness. We're out of here. We're out of here. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, for the death, burial, and resurrection. Thank God that if you love him, you walk with him and talk with him, by the way, he will open to you the scripture. Don't count on me and Robert Breaker and other Bible-believing preachers on the internet to open the scripture. It's personal. He didn't send Elijah to the disciples to open it to them. He opened it to him. And if you walk with him and talk with him, he'll open it to you too. He'll open it to us. Father, we love you and thank you for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for those openings, Lord. And we're looking forward to that Revelation 4 opening of the door. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come get us soon. Bless the nursing home service this afternoon. Bless the food downstairs. And Lord, bless those that sacrificially brought it and showed up today when they had reasons to not be here and health issues and different things, but they love you and they're going to try to be here when they can, the best they can. And Lord, I'm not saying that when people miss, they don't have reason. I'm just saying that most people that show up when they absolutely couldn't and shouldn't, physically almost impossible, and they do. Just bless them, Lord. Lord, help us, strengthen us till you call us out of here. To lift you up, magnify and glorify you in your word, and to end without compromise. In Jesus' name. Amen.